Remember. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Face Us, the radio show where we listen to your voice and talk about the corruption we all face every day in our courts. America's courts have been co-opted by organized crime organizations operating under the color of law to defraud their victims of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We, the people, must confront the perpetrators of these crimes to have any hope of creating transparency and accountability in our courts and repairing our legal system. We stand with you to create this accountability. It's time to face us. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Face Us Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Hidden Truth Revealed, and this is the Inside Scoop. Today is May 18th, 2022. My name is Robin Austin. I'm with my co-host, Luann Fleming. Say hello.
Hello, everybody.
And Hillary Hogue. Say hello, Hillary.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
There you go. Thank you. And we will have Marcy on Freeman on. When she calls in, we will bring her on the phone with us if she calls in tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to be talking about, there's so much going on. Oh, my gosh. We want to come help us celebrate our sixth year broadcasting. Robin and I have been doing this for 6 years. And then
wow.
We had Marcy came on. Yeah, Marcy Friedman came on. Our first show was actually called Robin and Lulu Show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we did that for a couple of years. And then we ended up turning it into Face Us Radio because we also had Marcy Friedman join us probably about 5 years ago. And then Hillary Hogue joined us as well. So we've been doing this now for 6 years of broadcasting. So we just want everybody to come in and join with us tonight on that celebration. Actually, I can't really say it was a huge celebration because the stories that we tell are awfully, awfully sad. And there's a lot of injustice on what's going on. So, you know, it's kind of saddened, but we're happy to be bringing the attention and the awareness of the guardianship probate fraud. You go ahead, take it from there, Robin.
It's a celebration for us simply because this is a ministry. This is a service that we're able to bring to people where we're alerting people to the reality that's going on in our court systems in America and the injustice that we all face on a day-to-day basis, daily, and throughout the nation and throughout the world. So we are grateful that we're able to be on the air. This is a free country to the point where we're able to be on the air. It becomes less free every day, as anyone who knows anything can tell you. So it's a matter of some joy for us that we're able to broadcast this and tell the truth about what's really going on in our nation and the world in the court system that is supposed to be representative of justice and is not, has become a crime syndicate that has been taken over by a mafia-like organization. I hesitate to use those terms because it's just a different kind of organized crime, but it is organized crime, and it is standing in the stead of the justice system that was designed to operate of, by, and for the people of America. We are supposed to be in charge of our government. The government in the United States is supposed to have three branches, the executive, the legislative, and the judicial, and it is supposed to be operated of, by, and for the people. It no longer is. The people are less and less able to determine what is done by their governmental representatives, and there is more and more tyranny that is taking the place of justice and fairness, not only in our court systems, but in other branches of the government as well. And we see how the media has been largely taken over by corporate media that is representative of big money interests more than it is in service to the people at all. And so there's so many forces that are operating in our society to destroy our freedoms and to destroy justice and to destroy the principles upon which our country was founded, that it is a wonderful thing that we're able to be on the air and talk to all of you every night, every Wednesday night, about this, and that we've been able to do this for 6 years. So I think that about sums it up for me. What do you think?
Exactly. And, gosh, we're probably going to have a busy radio show tonight because there's a lot of injustice going on in our nation. It's not only here in the United States.
Across the world.
Right. So we've got a lot of stories to talk to you about, a lot going on. And we do have Hillary with us as well. And Marcy probably will be joining us. I know that today we have heard some really sad news from Lisa Martino. Everybody, her father passed away today. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. And so we wanted to let everybody know about that. And as you know, that she's having a lot of issues out there. Her home was taken away, supposedly from a defamation a lawsuit or whatever they were doing with her, but they took away her home. They wanted to get an attorney. They have so much going on with her. It is bad enough when your parent passes, let alone, and I know she wasn't there. They weren't letting her in there, you know. Hopefully she'll call into our show and she can talk to us about it. But being without your parents and them keeping you away from your loved ones or anybody like that during their passing is one of the hardest things. When my mother was getting ready to pass and I got to be with her because I ended up being the legal guardian. But there's so many families that are being denied access to their parents for years. I mean, this went on with my family for 3 years, 3 months and 2 days or something like that. But we finally got her back out of the guardianship, and we became her guardians. And thank God, because I could not bear to be without my mom during her passing. I think it would just about, it would do me in. It really would. So for Lisa to not be with her parents, you know, her dad, and then you hear about these stories, lots and lots of stories. I mean, we've done probably over this 6 years, we've talked to literally at least a couple thousand families. I mean, we've interviewed quite a few on our radio shows, and if you have any stories you want to talk about, please come on to our show. I mean, tell us your story. If you have any ideas on how to abolish them, we need to do that, because I have a feeling there's too many holes in the system. Legislation is slow.
It has become a system that is so corrupt and so full of holes and so despicable that really it's just an organized crime organization more than anything else. I mean, that the idea of it being something good may have been there in the beginning, but that idea has definitely gotten thoroughly lost, and there is very little left of any value in the system, if there's any value at all. We've talked about what's the best way to fix the system, and really the answer that seems to be coming up for quite a few of those that have been at this for a while who have been trying to fix the system is that the system is not fixable, that it is irreparably broken. Perhaps was from the beginning because it was designed in such a way that it facilitates criminal activity. It gives a patina of respectability to a bunch of criminals that are doing criminal activity. And really, I wish there were a way that I could say it that they would sort of soften the blow, that would make it sound different than that. There were a way that I could, but when I look at the way these courts operate, they go in, they take people from their homes without any proper authority. In other words, if I were to do what these court-appointed predators do, that would be kidnapping. If I were to do what these court-appointed predators do, that would be breaking and entering with armed men going into a home and seizing someone, putting them in shackles and carrying them off. That's kidnapping. If we were then to, you know, if I got together with a group of friends and then held those people incommunicado and said to those who inquire, well, if you want to talk to your loved one ever again, then you'll have to go through our intermediaries and you must pay them. If you want to fight this, there's a way you can do that. You can pay our intermediaries that will then represent you to our courts. Well, that's, you know, that would be setting up a kangaroo court. That would be setting up a false front.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be setting up something pretend so that it could make it look as though there were some kind of something going on that might mean that you're getting something that looks like something like justice, but there's no justice there. It's a phony thing. It's a pretend thing. It's a kabuki theater value when they're not offering any value. They're stealing from you without giving you any value in return. This is a violation of contract law. If two people have a contract, there has to be an exchange of value for value. And that can be a legitimate contract. If I contract with you and say, I will mow your grass, and you contract with me and say, I'll pay you $50 if you do, and I demand $50, and then you pay me and I don't mow your grass, I'm in violation of the contract. Or I mow your grass and then you don't pay me, you're in violation of the contract. The courts are there to ostensibly keep us from saying, well, you didn't pay me for mowing your lawn, I'm going to kill you, because that's how I feel. I think you deserve to die because that's what seems just to me. Well, we hopefully in a civilized society can find better options than that. So we set the courts to be an intermediary that we both go to, and the court says, okay, look, what really has to happen here is you've got to provide that $50 worth of value to this individual because they have provided you the value that you contracted with. That's how courts are supposed to work. It's supposed to balance the scales between human beings so that we don't turn to violence. But when the courts are broken, when they have become something that is a crime syndicate,
right,
where you go into a building where it's supposed to be something that we call court, and it is not a court, it's just a crime syndicate.
Yeah.
And they go in and you are robbed of everything, robbed of your loved ones, robbed of your health, robbed of your property, robbed of your life.
Robbed
you know.
Of your parents.
Right.
Your parents are being kept in, forced into nursing homes, and then their property is
their rights stripped from them. Their voices stripped from them.
Terribly.
Their rights under our Constitution and under God Almighty, who really is the source of all of our rights. The government doesn't give us any rights.
Sir Father.
Our rights come because we're given them when we're born. We're born into an empowered state where we are sovereign. We are given a life that includes the right to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. The paperwork that was written up by our founding fathers is designed only to ensure that governments don't become tyrannies that strip away those rights that were given to us because we're born on this earth, because we're human beings, these human rights. And
right.
The fact that we're not getting those in our courts means that those courts are broken.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that those courts are broken means that it is, we're coming up to the time when it will be just when the people rise up to overthrow the governmental system that is no longer working.
It's not working. It definitely is not working.
You know, I mean, the early patriots said that the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of, was it tyrants or was it patriots? I think it was both. But we're coming to that time, ladies and gentlemen, when the people are no longer going to tolerate the behavior of these criminals, and there will be bloodshed. And it's not something that I'm calling for, but it is something that I'm predicting, because I see the mood of the nation has shifted. The mood of the people has shifted. We're really not going to be putting up with it forever. It's just not going to happen.
But think about this, that it's not only the families that are going through this. There's many attorneys out there that are working on behalf of these family members, and they are even being retaliated on.
Oh, they're targeted just as much as anyone
else. I've talked to
at
least 15 attorneys where they're saying that they definitely want to get out of their jobs because it's dangerous for them, you know, and they go in and they represent their clients, and then before you know it, they are condemned as being mentally ill or something like that. We've had so many attorneys come on and say, this is not the way to go. This is not how it's supposed to work anymore.
Well, it's not what they signed up for when they thought, yes, I'll go to law school so that I can do good work. And really, that many of them start out saying, I'm going to law school because I want to be able to do what is right. I want to be able to stand up for people that are facing injustice.
Right.
I want to be able to defend those who deserve defense, which really is everyone.
Right,
because
exactly.
People are often accused of, in this country, you are presumed innocent until you are proven guilty, which means that we must assume that even if so-and-so says you did such-and-such, you're not guilty of that until someone can prove that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only fair way to do anything with a justice system, because if you're locking people up based on accusations,
mm-hmm.
well, then you're operating like a probate court where they steal parents out of homes on accusations.
Children, too.
Where they call,
children.
Where they call someone not a good parent or incapable of looking after their affairs, whether they are or not. And there's nothing done to verify any of that.
Right.
But based on the hearsay accusation,
mm-hmm.
then actions are taken which deprive someone of their human rights, of their life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. They are deprived of those fundamental rights. And this is against the law in a nation that is under the rule of law, which is what we're supposed to be.
Right. So this is what we're going to be talking about on our show tonight. So what we want to do is we want some of you callers to call in and talk to us about if this is going on in your family and if you've won any cases getting your parent to have a guardianship, and I know it's extremely hard. And if you have any ideas on how we can abolish the system or whatever we have to do. I mean, Robin and I were in legislation this whole time, and we had Channel 7 News. We've had Representative Holtorf in there, Richard Holtorf in there, speaking out with Representative Kim Ransom. And I tell you what, we're supposed to get a guardianship task force to talk about the problems going on in Colorado. That didn't happen. That bill was killed in committee. So even though you have all these people involved, legislation is a slow process, if not at all. So that's another problem that we're having. I mean, it's okay to get the to let people know what's going on, you know, in your cities, in your states, across the nation, to at least warn them that this could happen to your family. That's why our radio show exists, because if you can't get anything done with the laws, at least we can warn other family members not to file for guardianship. Try to work it out with your family members. Try not to get the police involved. Try to do whatever you can to stay out of a probate court.
And you begin to understand how the system actually works, fight like hell, because we're in a war.
Right.
You got to
exactly.
understand that you cannot just say, well, I'm so glad that Robin and Lulu are out there fighting. That's great. And I'm really grateful about that. And then
mm-hmm.
just leave it at that, because that's, yeah, I'm glad we're here too, but we're here to empower others. We're here to help others to have the strength of character, the strength of mind, the strength of heart to stand up for themselves and to be willing to take action on their own behalf, take action on behalf of others. When you see that there's a court case coming up that you know that there's some injustice that is more than likely to happen, take steps to get into that courtroom, whether it's a Zoom call, which sometimes you can get on a Zoom call in these court cases
mm-hmm.
and act as a court monitor. You are simply there to watch the legal process unfold. And just doing that is oftentimes enough to cause a judge to consider the fact that there's the parties to this lawsuit, and then there's some people from the media, and there's some people from the public, and I'm being watched. This isn't just me and my friends in the private club of our private crime group. It's actually some other individuals and the word could get out about
mm-hmm.
what we're doing, and I might be held responsible. And perhaps someone who knows that these are crimes is listening. You see, that this has a chilling effect sometimes on the bad behavior of judges. So get into those courtrooms. Become a court watcher. Take action in whatever ways you can. Alert your family members to figure out which ones of the radio shows that we've got in our 6 years of archives would apply to a situation that might be something that they might face, and say, hey, listen, I found something that I think you might find interesting. Let's listen to it together. I want you to hear this. It's really interesting.
Right.
There's ways of pinning down where the money that is going into the judge's pocket is going into the judge's pocket, how you can figure out that the judge that you're dealing with is getting paid under the table. There's ways to discover that we've talked about on our show several times.
Right. So what you can do is you can invite families to come and listen in. And our shows are Faceless Radio. And what you can do is you tune into Blog Talk Radio, Hidden Truth Revealed. And you can, there's like 300 shows on there now. And you can point them in that direction to say, listen, you've got to listen to these shows. There's a lot of information that we've been putting out for 6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
This is our 6 year anniversary. So we want to share this group with you, to share the Blog Talk Radio show information with your families. So, if I had just one of them shows that I could have listened to when my family is going through this, I think we could have saved everything that we had, because we were not informed. You know, so I'm hoping that these shows will educate, and we can advocate for all those people out there that have no idea that these probate scamming is going on. I mean, it happened to Britney Spears, and you know, it's going to go deeper than that. So we're all going to also open our phone lines up. So if you want to come on live onto our radio show, remember these are all recorded and archived. You can do that by dialing this phone number, 845-241-9962. You press a 1, 845-241-9962. You press a 1, and that will raise your hand, and we will bring you live on the air to talk about your situation. We're here just to talk to you about what's going on in your life. We are not attorneys by any chance. You know, these are real life experiences that our families have gone through. So, you know, we don't give advice. We just, you know, talk about what's going on, and hopefully we can find you some help somewhere along the line. You know, something more than we had
with
going on in our family. You know,
one of the things that we have been able to do quite often, actually, is to discover people that are in the same plight in the same neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're calling from a Michigan number, we probably know someone in Michigan now after doing this for 6 years that we can put you in touch with, that can organize with you to make things happen in Michigan. If that's New York is your territory, or Florida, or North Carolina, wherever you are, there's a good chance that we know some activists there that are actively looking for others to network with, to try to make things happen in a way that can straighten out a lot of these problems that we face in our courts.
It's very serious.
It is extremely serious.
Ladies
and gentlemen, it is a war. We are taking casualties every day.
It's horrible.
Our parents, our children are being trafficked and executed on a schedule that suits their traffickers. And it's horrific. It's horrendous. It is organized crime on a massive scale. And that's just the human cost. That's not even touching on the defrauding of people of their property.
Oh, my gosh, it's so bad.
When we first started, we began to detail out the people that we came across, and we assembled a board wherein we were able to determine that, 28 families had lost over $60
million? $60 million, 28 families, yeah.
28 families.
And there was only about
$60 million to court predation.
Yeah.
To court predators. That's a small drop in a huge ocean.
Mm-hmm.
This is a multi-trillion dollar scam that's being perpetrated through the courts in our country and throughout the world. And there's no one holding anyone accountable, because as soon as you try to get accountability, you run into the next layer of mafiosi dons.
Right.
And that's the judges that judge the judges. And when you try to hold them accountable by going to legislators and saying, look, there's no one holding this accountable, we need to establish some kind of accountability, they say, yes, yes, we all are with you on that. You'll find two or three legislators that say, yes, we want to help you. And they're absolutely sincere. They do want to help. There are legislators that are saying, yes, we do. This is a serious problem. We want to help. However, the Bar Association and
its members has
a stranglehold on the legislature. And what happens is it'll wind up in a committee, as this most recent bill did, where they just quietly let it die on the vine.
For three weeks.
They never bring it out in the committee. They never bring it up and put it on the calendar so that the legislature has the chance to vote on it. They just let it die in committee so that you first... The Bar Association comes in and says, oh, if you're going to have a bill that that mediates how the judiciary operates, well, we want to have input on that because we are the lawyers that work with the judiciary. That's where the judiciary comes from. It's all lawyers, so we need to be participating in that. And so they will cut down that bill. The most recent bill was very simple. We said, look, what we would like is, this is, you know, can you imagine something that is less intrusive on a guardian than to say, look, if you're going to take someone out of their home, you should let their family know. If you're going to put someone in a hospital, you should let their family know. If someone dies,
you should let their family know. Okay.
And
within
the bar
a few hours. Within a few hours.
Hard against this. They said, no. We don't think they should. No.
Maybe 30 days.
When we move someone out of their home, 30 days later, we should probably, if we must notify the family, let's just give us 30 days to do that. If they do die, give us 30 days to let the kids know mom's dead. If we put mom in the hospital, if we put your daughter in the hospital, we put your husband in the hospital, let us take 30 days to let you know that's where they are. That is what the bar is.
Right, exactly.
So the legislators, particularly Richard Holtorf, said that is inhumane. That is inhuman. That's wrong on a human level. We really have to notify the family when their loved one is, you know, if their mother dies, we have to notify the family.
Right.
It should be 24 hours at the most.
Right, and they tried to make it for a week, but then he wanted 48 hours.
Right, and it all became a moot point.
Right.
Because even though after we fought in the legislature, we had numerous witnesses that came forward.
We had Channel 7 News there.
We had Channel 7 News covering this story.
They're just shocked about
we had legislators on our side arguing with us, saying we need to do the right thing.
Yes.
We need to do the principled thing, the thing that defends the rights of these people. We've got to do this, folks. It's just the only right thing to do. Even with all of that, it became a moot point, because what happens? They say, yes, okay, we have decided to move forward with this bill because, you know, you people make a good argument, and we can't stand here in front of the television cameras and say, nah, we're not going to vote for that. Screw all those people. We're going to go with a bar that wants 30 days or 6 months to notify the mom.
It's so disgusting.
So they move the bill forward, but then it winds up in a committee.
And the appropriations committee
sits on it. They just pretend like, oh, yeah, we'll get around to that. Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
We've
got important things we've got to do. We can't get to that. We'll get to it. Oops. Out of time. Too bad.
We're out of time. Too bad. Sorry. Maybe next year again.
Maybe. Possibly. Perhaps.
Yeah. So this is...
Maybe. Perhaps.
So
possibly.
I'm thinking totally, in my opinion only, we have to abolish the whole probate system. How is that ever going to be done? By a lot of people speaking up and start talking about it, start showing signs to everybody, start telling stories, because I found out that Lisa Martino's dad just died. Roland Thomas Martino passed away, and I know she wasn't there. I'm sure they didn't let her there. You know,
oh, I
he,
think
he
they
died
offered
for
the opportunity. But,
I'm
you
not
know,
even sure.
You know,
but
I am very much aware, however, that in a situation like that,
yeah,
where the police have been used as a bludgeon
mm-hmm.
to assault citizens,
mm-hmm.
to go into their home, armed men going into their home.
Which we've seen them be happening.
Which, there, it's on tape. There was there was live video from a police officer's body cam showing they went into her home, guns drawn, to take her forcibly from her home without warning.
And they're packing up her stuff, her personal items. I mean, could you imagine people going through your clothes and your stuff and just throwing it in a van and forget what you had?
It's not yours anymore.
She gets
so
this goodbye. This is our home now. Is this horrible?
No warning. They didn't, you know, they didn't give her time to prepare
nothing.
For this.
Absolutely
nothing.
It was
an absolute.
She couldn't even follow. She couldn't even follow the truck. Oh my God.
Of her human rights.
Right.
They came in unannounced with armed men, with armed individuals.
And their news station was there, too. The news station was there and has it all on tape.
And took her forcibly from her home. And
then she asked, what's the condition of her father? What can I do? She writes to the court. Now they're trying to put her in jail for 6 months for doing that.
For writing to the court without a lawyer.
Because she was supposed
to
have a lawyer. I'm shocked over this.
This is
insane.
This is
so
really,
insane. It's so
this
bad.
Is tyranny. This is absolutely. I can't find words that describe how evil this is.
So that's
horrific.
Why any words is a threat to justice everywhere. And I do believe that is a huge thing. And I think that we need to tell our family members, we have to do something else besides put little old granny in the nursing home, and and our parents, you know, we have to get guardianship of them. No, you do not. You could work it out with your family members.
Well, you see, if we live in a society
mm-hmm.
where we permit
mm-hmm.
injustice against Lisa Martino,
right?
We as a society, we decide, well, gosh, that's really horrible, but it's tolerable because it's not my family, but it's tolerable because it doesn't affect me directly. If we are comfortable enough to allow the atrocities against our fellow citizens, then there is no limit to the atrocities that are to come. You see, this is what happened in Nazi Germany. There were atrocities being committed against the barbers, because barbers were community centers,
mm-hmm.
and they took out all the barbers, against intellectuals, because intellectuals were teaching people and educating people and were centers of influence, against teachers, and it was like the individuals that were any kind of community leader were taken out first.
Right.
Then it was atrocities against Jews, and they said, these are the people that are responsible for blah, 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 this, this, and this. All of your troubles can be traced back to those people that are not like us, but are them, not us, but them. So they alienate a group of people. They say, these are the family members that steal from their family. We need to hold them accountable. We need to put them in prison. We need to do this to them. We need to do that to them. And as long as they're able to say, well, it's not, those are the not us people. The us are the good guys, and those are the bad guys.
The not us people.
And as long as it's not us, then we're oftentimes kind of willing to say, shrug our shoulders and go, gee, that's really too bad. Gee, that's really horrible. But thank God it wasn't me and my family.
Right.
And we just sort of go on. But the more we do that,
mm-hmm.
the more ground that is gained by fascist tyranny
in our
culture.
Right.
And the worse our culture gets, and the more it's okay for the people who did get the shot to be persecuted, or the people who didn't get the shot to be persecuted, the more it's okay for whoever it is that is not us to be persecuted, if it's okay for injustice to be pushed on them, then we ourselves have become the tyrants, not because we chose to be, but because we acceded to it, because we surrendered to the programming of the culture that has caused us to lose that degree of our humanity. Once I begin to look at, oh, look, that's that race over there. They're not human. They're this other thing. They're the Jews. Oh, they're not human. They're the whatever you want to say. You know, in Vietnam, it was, oh, they're the gooks. That's not real people. That's just a different, that's not. So once you make somebody them and you are the us, then it's okay to persecute, prosecute, belittle, murder, whatever you want to do, because they're not the, they're not like us. They're not fully people. As soon as we
well,
do
that's
that,
what they're doing.
Then that is injustice against those individuals, and injustice anywhere against anyone
well,
is a cancer that eats at us all. And we must not permit it to exist in our society.
Right. And it's also the crime against humanity by taking someone's identity. And then they put a person that is a complete stranger, and now they own that person. That is horrifying. That person no longer has a voice. That person no longer even exists anymore. So the guardians come in there and they take over that person. They take over their property. They keep the family members shut out. People, this is happening. This is happening every day in our courtrooms, and you have to be notified on what is going on. We are opening up our phone lines tonight, everybody. Help us celebrate our 6th year of broadcasting by doing these shows. And also, I'm going to give you the phone number to call into. And the phone number is 845-241-9962, and you press a 1, right? And we're going to take on our first caller. How about a 616 number? 616, you have a question. Come on, Ty.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Yeah,
welcome.
I'm reading this paper right now. This is Holly from Michigan. It's the Adult Guardianship Legislation Summary from 2019, and it's talking about how there has been, since 2011, 328 adult guardianship bills from across the United States. That they're constantly doing, making things better, doing this, doing that, a potential abuse, task force, nada, nada, bada, 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 bada. You know, UGCOPAA, Protective Arrangements, that's the Uniform Guardianship Conservatorship and Other Protective Arrangements Act between all the states. It just goes on and on and on. And then I also read where probate is disappearing, meaning as far as what's the word for it? A lot of people are trying to do wills and whatnot, and, you know, and living trust.
They're still doing that.
So they don't want to go through probate court. So probate courts have lost a lot of money, and that's why they've ramped up on this guardianship. Guardianship is almost 90% of their budget right now, according to what I'm reading from the Bar Association, from the American Bar Association, because, you know, trying to not go through probate court because probate court's been bad forever and ever and ever. You don't want to get stuck in it. So they lost all that money and guardianship, conservatorship, that, whatnot. And this is also from Commission on Law and Aging. 90% of their budget is guardianship. So...
Oh, my God. It just goes on, doesn't it? Yeah.
So my question is, you know, we got all these different states and, you know, people have been fighting like crazy and just going on and on and on. And, you know, and they're trying to, from what I'm reading, they're trying to immerse probate courts into other courts because they know they're losing probate court. As far as what it was originally intended for, because it's turned into some mental thing from mental health, you know, the, what do you call it? The, every state has this mental, MDHS, you know, DHS, whatever. Guardianship is not a law. It's kind of a mandate that came from, some other place saying if it's an incapacity person, you know, it's a good thing to do guardianship. But there's no laws. All these other bills that have been enacted have been taken off of that. That was never a law. Okay, there's never been a law. So they're eventually, from what I'm reading, is they're immersing probate courts into something else and getting rid of probate altogether because there's very few times when there's wills left. So in other words, 90% of the budget is guardianship. I don't know if you're listening to what I'm saying or not.
Right.
So
right.
They're going to be changing the name. This probate court's not a real court. It's not part of anything.
Right.
It was there because of bankers originally
right.
and whatnot. Why can't we go after them? Why can't we name probate court an organization and go after them in that way? Instead of, you know, all these states are doing, you know, everybody, all these groups in every state, including here in Michigan, you know, we have all these millions of stories. You know, we can prove the judge taking money, but we really can't do anything about it. Because the only way that it's going to take in court is going to be the local DA or attorney general, and they ain't going to do that because there's just too much money in it. I mean, you know, but why can't we across the whole United States go after them as a corporation instead of a court, instead of doing every state differently?
That's a good question, though.
I don't know if I'm making real sense here because, you know, they got the state-by-state overview, you know,
right.
Guardianship proceedings here, combat and sightings and guardianship proceedings here, the American Bar Association. You know, I'm reading this from American Bar Association.
Right.
And then the
and
reports,
you know,
where their probate court is disappearing.
Right. And there's, you know, there's like these courts. No, I agree with you exactly. But in these courts, they're supposedly called courts. I agree with you with that in a way because these people are just coming in and they're just owning these courts and then they own your family. So I agree with you that I wish we could go after them, you know, because of all the money
well,
that they're looting from.
Is there a way to call them a company or a corporation instead of saying probate court? Because you're
good
not going to ever win against the courts. I mean, you're going to be able to push them back with a lot of screaming, but, you know, I think that's going to be in the future, maybe 30 more years. But
yeah.
90% of the budget of probate courts right now are in guardianship. Okay?
Right.
That law about guardianship isn't a law. It came back from the same place that the mandates came from vaccines. There was never a law in place. It was a health code. Okay? It was a health
right.
code. It was not a law. Okay? But not all these bills have been made off of something that was never a law. There's no law that says every disabled person after the age of 18 has to be placed under guardianship. There's no law that says an elderly person with dementia has to be placed under guardianship. It doesn't exist.
Right.
It's a health mandate. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You know, people just take care of them, did POAs or whatever. There was never anything that said there has to be guardianship. People were thrown into insane asylums, stuff like that. And those places were shut down because people were stuck in insane asylums that were never insane. So all that was shut
but
down. Now that's not my assist. So I don't know. My two cents right there. We're beating a bush that we're going to never win. So I don't understand how we can't just change directions and go after something. There's no law that says anybody. It's not legal. It's not a law. Someone please
tell
me.
But you know what?
I'm not
sure how that would happen because to change any laws or to change anything, you have to go through legislation on a lot of that stuff. We could even get the visitation to legislators here in Colorado. So I'm not sure. You know, all that sounds good, but I'm not sure how that could be done, you know? And I think that would be good.
No, not through legislation. We're talking about a out-and-out lawsuit. Okay, because legislation,
yeah,
there's no law that says guardianship exists. It's a health mandate. It's not
okay.
a law. But all these laws are being made off of something that's not a law, like these bills that say, oh, you only have to visit them once a year, or you only need 2 weeks of this, or all those things were just basically, that's not a law. There's nothing there
yeah.
about a law. But guardianship does have a organization.
Right.
You know, from state to state now. It's just kind of a... Anyways, that's my 2 cents there because, you know, 90% of the budget is off of guardianship. And probate court is disappearing as far as the so-called wills and administration of this and that and this and that and this and that. That's why they're going after all these people that are still alive because there's not enough dead people that don't have wills or, you know what I'm saying, where they
right.
would have to administer all the wills. There's not enough of that to make up for their lost budget, and they want to keep the business going. So anyways, that is my...
well, that's good information, though.
You know, I mean, it's sitting here right in front of me.
Right.
It's,
I know,
you know,
exactly. I know exactly.
You know, why should we adopt uniform adult guardianship or protective proceedings jurisdiction act? You know, every place but 4 states doesn't have that. Florida, Kansas, Michigan, and Texas. And that's what they were
mm-hmm.
screaming at me about Emily. That's why they said I wasn't allowed to cross state lines without her without getting permission from the courts, even though the federal law says I can move any fucking place I want to live. Okay, so,
right.
You know, anyways,
yeah.
that's just kind of what it's called. The, it's the UAGPJJA.
Mm-hmm.
The American Bar Association is actually one of the groups of people that were trying to push that because they said every time you would move or you wanted, you know, they were screaming about people weren't allowed to leave the state because you had to go through courts to do it, and then if you moved, you had to go to another court to do the whole thing over again.
Right.
I understand,
but I think we can use that topic for another time because it is a large topic, you know, about what we can do about that. So I think
got to narrow it down because no one's
getting
how
would we go about doing all that? And that would should be for another show because I have no idea. We haven't even crossed that topic at all. But it's good that you called into the show to think about it, to talk about it, right, Robin?
Yeah.
Thank you. But anyways, that's my direction because
okay.
it's just not gonna.
And
it's
Hillary,
not
you're
working.
This, right?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
No,
good. Okay. Right. Exactly. Okay, Holly. Well, thanks for calling in. We're gonna talk a little bit more about that, and we'll talk about other things as well. But appreciate
you're
you
welcome.
For calling in.
Yeah, I
think he's making a pretty valid point that we need to be
exactly.
cognizant of and explore
exactly.
because
yes, definitely, without a doubt.
Understanding of how the courts are structured and what the difference is between an administrative council
mm-hmm.
and a court of law.
Go ahead.
Are you guys there?
Go ahead. Yeah, we're here. Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks. If I could just say one thing.
Sure.
You know, Lisa Martino hadn't seen her father for quite a long time. She was a one-woman machine fighting the man. And, you know, we have to give her credit because they tried and tried to, you know, push her down. And even though her home, which was paid for in full, was taken from her, even though Lisa Martino was a whistleblower for the government, a few years back for the government with the Department of Justice. They still went after her, but finally this, I believe it was Friday night, this judge, Judge Weiss, it basically stuck the knife in deeper. He sent an email to Lisa, and part of it was concerning visitation. And these were the prerequisites for Lisa Martino to see her father before they pulled his ventilator out to basically kill him. And just condense it. And it says, upon consideration, it finds the best interest of the ward. Let me just scoop down a little bit here. Okay, here we go.
Was she able to see her dad, or was she not able to go?
No, she didn't, because it was a setup. It was definitely a setup. In order for Lisa to have seen her father, they gave her a few hours notice, and it says, on this motion, a written motion of Lisa Martino to visit her father at St. Joseph's Hospital North is hereby granted in part. So in order for Lisa to see her father that she has fought for and loved as he has loved her, this is what she had needed to do. She shall notify the guardian by no later than 10 a.m. on Saturday, May 14th. It's like a hostage agreement as to whether she intends to visit her father. Failure to provide timely notice shall be deemed a waiver of visitation pursuant to the provisions of this order. 3, Lisa Martino shall notify the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, who, don't forget, are the ones that went into her house with their guns drawn and removed her physically from her home, if she intends to visit her father. Lisa Martino shall also provide a copy of this order to the Sheriff's Department. The following restrictions shall be placed on Lisa Martino visiting her father at St. Joseph's Hospital on Saturday, May 14th. Lisa Martino may visit her father one time and one time only for a period not to exceed 2 hours in duration on Saturday, May 14th, 2022. B, Lisa Martino may choose the two-hour visitation time period subject to availability of law enforcement for Saturday, May 14th. However, the visitation period must conclude no later than 11 p.m. on Saturday, May 14th. C, Lisa Martino shall not involve the media in any manner with said visitation. Lisa Martino shall be accompanied by no other individual at this visitation. Lisa Martino may not discuss any inappropriate, as determined by the emergency guardian, with her father, anything inappropriate with her father during this visitation period. The sheriff shall meet Lisa Martino off the premises and shall then accompany Lisa Martino to the hospital. Otherwise stated, Lisa Martino is never to be on the premises of St. Joseph Hospital unless accompanied by at least one sheriff's office deputy. The uniformed sheriff's office deputy shall also be present in the hospital room at all times during which Lisa Martino visits her father. The emergency guardian shall also be present in the hospital room at all times during which Lisa Martino visits her father. Lisa Martino shall not have any cameras, cell phone, recording, or any electronic device on her person during the visitation with her father. Ms. Martino shall not make any recordings nor any photographs whatsoever while on the premise of St. Joseph's Hospital. The guardian may, however, provide to Lisa Martino photographs of Lisa Martino with her father. J, while on the premises of St. Joseph's North, Lisa Martino shall not speak to anyone, not limited to hospital staff, doctors, nurses, attorneys, guardians, or family members, other than her father or uniformed sheriff's office deputy. In Lisa Martino, as to these restrictions set forth in the provisions of this order, law enforcement deputies shall immediately terminate the visitation and immediately remove Lisa Martino from the premises of St. Joseph's Hospital. Any violations of this order will subject Lisa Martino to the contempt powers of the court and could result in fines, sanctions, and or incarceration. Signed, in chambers, Richard A. Weiss, Circuit Judge. This is May 13th, 2022. This is what is happening in our country today. And if that doesn't scare you, it really should. Lisa Martino is a doctor of pharmacy, a registered guardian, a CNA, but most importantly, in this circumstance, she's a loving daughter. There's never been any violence, only love to her father. But again, when you're trying to unveil the corruption and the truth, you are a threat and you will be silenced. But we can't let that happen. So thank you for letting me do that.
Wow, that's really scary to know that that's all the things that could happen to her if she does it talk to your dad or if you go in there and someone thinks you're doing anything, she could end up in jail. That's just to visit your dad?
But,
oh, my God, what's going on?
Even if Lisa had gone and followed all of those rules, she did not have a witness like you, like Robin, like me, like a librarian, like a mailman to say, oh, no, she didn't do anything wrong. They could have said anything and had her arrested on the spot. So, you know, looking at it, I'm glad she didn't go. I'm glad she didn't go because I really do think that it was a setup.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I've heard of the same thing happening to other family members here in Colorado where they did go and they were kicked out and then they ended up getting sanctioned into the court for things that they did not do. So to me, it kind of sounds like if someone puts all that onto you saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, 15 or 20 items, oh, my God, you blink wrong, you're going to end up in jail. So, yeah, that's horrible. That's horrible.
Terrible.
The other side of the coin is we are going to put you in a position where there will be no evidence if we cheat, lie, steal, harm you, whatever we do, you won't have any evidence. If you have any evidence, you're in violation of a court order, and we can lock you up for that. So you can't record it.
You can't bring a witness.
You can't have anyone there that isn't on our team doing our bidding because
correct,
that will be violate conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a setup. You know, it was set up from the beginning to be a system that was gamed to put her in prison. That was the whole idea, was to put her in prison, to lock her up, to lock her away, to set her up so that she didn't have any choice, and so that they could lock her up.
You know, that's what
these criminals, these predators, do to those that tell the truth about what they're up to.
And not only that, but they take her dad, they put him in guardianship, right? And then they go and they take the house away. And then they say, now you got to go hire an attorney to find out if your dad's passing away. How in the heck is he supposed to do that and pay for another attorney who's just going to be on their side in the first place? I mean, the whole thing is just a setup. The whole thing is just so disgusting to me, and the way people are with other human lives is just horrifying, in my opinion.
And they're gaining on your love and your devotion to your loved one. And most people would be overjoyed, and Lisa is brilliantly intelligent, and they would just be geared so much with their heart that I don't care if I have to cut my arms and legs off. I want to see my father before he passes. But I'm sure it's like a ransom note. Bring this here. If you do this, you do that, you'll never see your father again. Got one chance, and obviously that's true because Mr. Martino, thank God, again, we always say it, and I do believe that all of our listeners, they believe it, that usually nine times out of ten, more than that, the only way out of guardianship is through death. So we are happy that Mr. Martino he's gotten out of guardianship.
Yeah, he is free now of guardianship. You know, and we will always be his voice, too. I mean, we're never going to let this one down, along with all the other 2,000, 3,000 families we've talked to. I mean, we go through this every day. We talk about this stuff on our radio shows every day. And the only thing we can do is be a voice for them. And I tell you what, we will always be thinking of him as well. I mean, with all the other families. I mean, gosh, Hillary. And I just had someone write to us just saying we went through the same thing. Took almost 2 years for non-supervised visits. That's a disgrace.
Terrible.
That's
horrible.
Hillary, let's bring in another caller. It's just evil. It's evil.
Yes.
So 270 number, you're with us. Welcome to Faceless Radio. We have a question,
hi.
Comment?
Hi. I hope everybody's had a nice evening and a good dinner and trying to take care of themselves the best they can. It's been a crazy week. I feel so bad for Lisa Martino. I don't even know where to go with that. But I have a few things just from listening tonight. I have a few things to always make little notes. And the 30 days that we were talking about earlier, it's to me, the 30 days is so that they have time to pay out whoever they need to pay out and to cover their tracks and clean up shop and then all but wash their hands of their wards because they're dead now. That way they can cover their tracks before they have to turn over whatever's left. They can, they can bend numbers and they can do whatever they want. That's what they do anyway.
I agree with you. There are cases in Florida, specifically in Seminole County with Denise Willis, and there have been wards, human beings, whether they're penniless or millionaires, that have been deceased for over a year, and this guardian has not filed a notice of death, a death certificate, nothing. And no one is holding them accountable. That, you know, no one is holding, it's bad enough that they do wrong, and their attorneys look the other way when these guardians do wrong. The judges are not holding them accountable. You know, I saw Jan Garwood today, and honestly, she's not doing well. Everything she talks about is money. She's afraid where she's living, that the guardian is going to come and get her again. Someone knocks on her door. She needs to know who they are. She's got money in this trust, not much. She has no access to it. And she'll be out of guardianship in 2 years in August. And that judge is to blame. Because if it were me and I was a decent person, I'd say, you know what? I don't care whose side I'm on. What is happening that this accounting has taken 2 years and it's still not approvable? Where is Jan Garwood's money, her jewelry, her antiques, her Social Security checks? But none of this is happening.
Yeah, all that takes time to move around, you know, and to put where it was promised to be put so that everybody got what they wanted.
Yeah.
The other thing that I was going to say, that the lady that called in and said something about let's go after the whole thing, I say, I use the term words as weapons a lot, and it would be really interesting after what she said, and, you know, we get lost in all the legal mumbo-jumbo because they want it that way. They know that eventually we're going to be like, well, we've got to pay our mortgage or whatever, so we better go to work. We can't do this all the time. But if there was a way to pick through it all the way to the very beginning, the very first word that was ever written about guardianship, conservatorship, and how that applies through the probate court, and if it ever did branch off into something that was anything less than to the letter of the law, then it would all crumble in their face. And I say we take it to the top of the top and drop it in their lap and say, comb through it like you're looking for lice in somebody's head and figure out how to – I should not have said that, but comb through it. I mean, find the needle in the haystack. Go all the way to the bottom. Cut it down to the atoms. We want to know if there's any fracture or broken mm-hmm. part of where this doesn't come down to the letter of the law, everything they've ever done from this point forward was false, it was wrong, and there is going to be hell to pay. And they're going to pay
us
back.
I agree with that. And, you know,
it
I think they were celebrating our six-year anniversary about talking about this stuff, and it saddens me to know that we have to talk about people not able to visit their parents and talk about all this and how much it is a corporation going on, what these courts are doing. And everybody is just sitting down here like victims ready to be had because it's happening. Every time we pick up the phone, somebody's calling up
mm-hmm.
and say, they have my parents, my aunt, they have my uncle, they have my child, they have my newborn or whatever. And it's so disturbing to know that this continues no matter how many, you know, Britney Spears are out there or how many I Care a Lot movies, this is still going on. What's it going to take to end this, you know?
It's just because, you know, it's a not going to happen to me society that we live in. It ain't me, so it's not going to happen to me. It'll never happen to me. At least I'm going to hope not. And what's on TV tonight? I don't care. And the people that are doing it, the people they're doing it to them, they are not people at all. They don't exist. Their wards do not exist to them. The wards do not exist to the judges, the lawyers, the conservators, the doctors, the anybody that gets involved, APS, any of it. It doesn't matter. To them, they get their little paycheck and then they get their cut, and they don't care.
Yeah. It's really,
and then
you know, it's really,
I know
really
the conservator that I had to deal with, she said very proudly in court that she went to a seminar to get her knowledge in 2013. That's how she gained the right to take the lives of others. She went to a seminar, and that just is kind of mind-blowing, you know? Like, it's a pyramid scheme that we are being bamboozled by.
Yeah,
and
I agree with that.
Being robbed.
And it gets more and more involved, and it doesn't stop. I mean, you would think that the case would stop going away, that people are noticing, but people call up all the time. I mean, 2-3 in the morning sometimes. They have my mom, they have my dad, and how do I find a good attorney?
Sleep.
And I don't know of hardly any attorneys to even talk to them about. In Colorado, I know about three attorneys that I trust, and that's it. That's not a lot.
No, that's not a lot. And then I guess I want to say the Lisa Martino, the violation of her rights in that, even in that court order that's about her trying to go visit her daddy, that like it said, no press. Okay, so you're allowed to say no press? How? Don't they have the right?
Yeah.
Isn't there something, freedom of press, whatnot?
Right.
I mean, that's out loud denying her constitutional right. And the public's constitutional right to know what goes on in a hospital that accepts public funding as well.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I think they should also, I think people should be sending letters to that hospital and saying, why are you allowing this?
Disgusting.
Why are you
allowing
for them to be taking our family members and torturing them in your hospital? I
mm-hmm.
think that's a good point.
Holding them captive, isn't that
absolutely
kidnapping?
Yeah.
And then I just want to say to Lisa, I'm sure everybody would agree with me, that her daddy didn't raise no dummy. They were trying to set her up. They were trying to set her the F up, and she's smarter than that. And he's free, from guardianship, and we got his girl now. We are his her family now, and she's got a lot of us, and we think a lot of her. She needs to hold her chin up.
Did.
I know it's got to be hard. I don't know her. I've never really met her, but it doesn't matter. I feel connected to everybody listening to this in one way, shape, or form. We are each other's family now. A lot of us have lost family. My
mm-hmm.
situation was not a family thing, but I can only hear the loss in families. But we're like a big family now, and they're about to be fighting all of us. If we ever figure it out, buddy, they will be fighting all of us.
Definitely.
And they better pack
yeah,
up.
You know, and I felt the same way. I've got so much family out there, you know, that since we've been doing these shows, it's like they do become our parents. You know, like Ernestine Franks, I think of her all the time with Doug Franks. And I think of my mama all the time out there with holding our little faces card in her little purse the whole time she's in a nursing home. And, you know, and I think of, you know, Lisa Martino's dad, you know, and all these moms, they stick with you. You know, and even Jan Gorwood, you know, talking to her, how she's like, I'm going to be freed. And she's so happy. And I see you pictures with you, Hillary, with her. And you helped her get free. But is she really free, like you were saying? You know, she needs to have her life back, you know. She's not getting it back.
Mm-hmm. And I plan, you know, I don't think I'm a great email writer, but I always stress, but tomorrow I will be writing an email to one of the judges that knows who I am in Seminole County about Jan. Enough is enough. And, you know, Jan's like, we've got to get a lawyer. We've got to try someone that can fight for me, you know. And there's no one out there, you know. There's very few. It's just disgraceful. And Jan is in her 70s, and this has had a terrible toll on her. I mean, it's had a terrible toll, and she's so good. I'm like, you know, Jan, let's go. We have an interview. She goes, you're the boss. Let's go. But it's heartbreaking. It's not right. It's not right at all. The guardians and the attorneys are not being held accountable. And it's just horrible.
Don't care. And why should we give up our parents' rights? Why should we give up our inheritance? Why should we give up anything for people who don't care? That's why you got to have a loud voice and just say, stop it. Come face us. Stop this BS going on, you know, with our family members. You know, the more stories I hear, I just get so irate. Sometimes I can't even sleep at night. How do these people sleep at night? That's what I want to know. I have nightmares thinking about it, you know, and it's sad. You know, I don't know what else.
They feel like they're above the law. They feel like they're above the law because they feel like they like the law, what is it, the law association, whatever, I can't think of it. They basically make the law, or they think they do. But again, like that lady said, if we can ever come back down to the part where that became, they're building laws on top of a house of cards, their house of cards has gotten real big, but the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Yeah,
and
that's my
true.
Dad's favorite thing. You know?
They built their stuff on quicksand, and it's not going to last forever. People will eventually, we will be able to get our message out to people. I would love for, I don't mind if people look at me and bat their eyes and think I'm crazy and they don't believe me until it happens to them. Fine. Come, I will let you come right back and be like, you know what? I found out it's true. And then then we can do the best we can to help them. But people need to know this.
Right. Well, we're real strong here in Colorado. So, you know, we've got a pretty big force out here now. So, you know, I dare any of these legislators or any of these people come to us and say, none of this is happening. Yes, it's happening, and I've got the families to show to you. So that's our strength that we have here. And I encourage everybody.
None of them will acknowledge
you heard
us,
about all the legislators and everything
us.
Going on. Mm-hmm.
When they acknowledge us, then they have to admit that there's something to look into, and that so they will not give us the time of day or platform. You had to find this platform. You've been doing it for 6 years. Everybody that's been involved for 6 years, you had to do that yourself. They didn't say, "Hey, we're concerned. We should look into this." No, you had to do. You've done all of this work, all of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're not gonna help you in your voice at all. They don't care. That would be work for them and less staff for them to clean their house or whatever they do, or private schools or whatever. I don't know. However they spend their money.
Yeah, and I know it's disgusting. It's just so unethical, and it goes on and on and on. It doesn't stop. Robin, what do you have to say? I mean, you're usually one of the biggest voices out here in Colorado and across the nation, actually. We talk about this daily, even on our radio shows. On our radio shows, we talk about it. We talk about it to people that are on the streets. We talk about it all the time. you know, why isn't the system changing? Because it's a moneymaker, just like everything else.
Uh-huh.
We have to be the ones to speak up about it, though, I guess. I guess we're the chosen ones. Hillary, you know, you talk about how, you know, they can cut off your arms and legs and to see your daddy. And I don't know how Lisa could handle that. I don't know, man. My mama was the most precious thing to me in the world. I tell you that right now. And for me not to have been with her, I don't know what I would have done. I don't know. Could you imagine not letting you see your mom? Come on, you still got a mom left.
It's not something that I want to imagine.
I know.
And, you know, I mean,
it's horrifying.
No, I'm not able to imagine what it is to be in someone else's shoes,
mm-hmm.
if they are facing something that I've never faced. I don't know what that is, and I really feel that I can't know what it is to be, don't know how I would handle it, if I could handle it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I know injustice when I see it.
Right.
Because my heart tells me, my gut responds, my heart responds. There's something rises up in me that says, no. I will not stand by and watch without doing all that I can to end this. I will not stand by and allow this to go on without doing whatever is in my power to stop it. And that's why, you know, I'm on this radio show for 6 years. It's why I went out to Rocky Flats nuclear bomb manufacturing facility when it existed in Colorado, and trespassed on their property with some friends and put up 6,000 crosses saying never again between midnight and 6 a.m. on the anniversary of when the bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, because I wanted the world to know that I stand up against any kind of tyranny. I wanted the world to see a symbol that said, there are those who stand against this.
Right.
This is wrong. We can't, as a human species, we can't permit ourselves to be the kind of people that live in a world where injustice, where horrifying destruction, where incalculable evil is permitted to go unpunished.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stand up against it. We have to stand up. There isn't anybody else. You're looking for who's going to solve the problem. Only thing I can say is you've got to look in your own heart, say, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a build-your-own-superheroes game. With this game of life, if you're not willing to stand up and build a superhero out of yourself, then there isn't anybody to fight for you. There isn't anybody to fight for us.
Mm-hmm.
It comes because
exactly.
We stand up. It comes because we don't give up. It comes because
right.
We have the determination to become the person that says, not on my watch, not in my presence, I will stand in the way of that. And if it means I take a bullet one day, so be it. What is the value
uh-huh.
of life if I'm not willing to stand up against tyranny and injustice? What is the value of that life that I consider to be mine, which is given to me? It's a gift. It's not anything I actually own. It's on loan from the great creator who's given us all life. If I use it in a way that's just selfish, that just takes care of my needs and says, well, there's injustice, so well, I want to watch TV. You know, if that's who I am, then I'm ashamed of myself. I can't live that way, and I won't live that way. If I see it, and I can do something, I will stand up against it until the day I die. And if that means that I die a painful death, that means that I die a death where I am executed.
Whatever.
Okay, so be it. I'd rather die like that
right next
than,
to you.
And live a life where I'm just allowing myself to be abused and allowing others to be harmed because I don't stand up against evil.
Okay, go ahead, Hillary.
And none of us, you know, I know Luann, Robin, and I, we didn't look for this job that we don't care if we get paid for it. We were placed here. I'm a single mother. I was working in a restaurant as a waitress when my dad was put into a guardianship, right? I thought I had big troubles then, if only I had known, you know? But what I saw and what I experienced and the feeling of helplessness and no one to turn to and knowing it was so wrong and knowing it couldn't just be me and seeing what is happening and being so grateful to whatever happened, the fluke that my father got out of guardianship. I have a duty. I have an obligation. And there are people that just walk away. Their parents die. They just walk away. It was enough. I'm sorry. It's too much. We get that. We understand. Me, myself, Robin and Luann, I think I can speak for, but me, myself, definitely, it's not an option. I've got to do this until it stops because the laws are not being followed. When it happened, I said, okay, wait. I read all the 744 statutes, and I said, we're golden, right? This law, that law. The laws are useless because they're not being followed. And again, we didn't think that we would be where we are, but it's an honor. It's an honor to right the wrongs that are happening in guardianship courts as we speak today.
Yeah, very well said. Right the wrongs.
That's right. Beautiful.
That's beautiful.
That's right. That's
beautiful.
Right. It is. It is. It's an honor. It's a privilege.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and I tell you what, you've done a remarkable job out there with Ray Conners and Marcy Freeman and Lynn Taylor
you know,
and all those advocates out there.
You know something, though? I will say this. My dad was... he was let out of his emergency guardianship, and he was supposed to be put into, you know, adjudicated a ward of the state of Florida April 24th, 2018, so 4 years ago. We were nowhere 4 years ago, 6 years ago. Anyone that I said, and Britney Spears does have something to do with it, but the fact that now we're not really as much looked at like we're not jobs, can happen to you, there must be something wrong. We are getting media. They want to do our stories, but I just don't know what we have to do that we aren't doing, but we will continue. We're not afraid. If any guardians or attorneys or judges are listening, we love the good ones, but we are not afraid of the bad ones. We are no longer intimidated, and we will look you in the eye, and that you can see by that judge's order. They hate the media. They hate radio shows like this because it broadcasts the truth. And again, we will do it forever. I have absolutely no qualms or no hesitations. I will be here. I will be here, and I will do whatever until it stops.
Yeah. That's exactly how I feel. And like I said, everybody approached me and says, well, since your mother's passed away, are you going to continue the radio shows? And I'm absolutely, I am her voice. My sister, her voice. My other sister's her voice. Robin's her voice. You're her voice. And
mm-hmm.
that's the same way we feel about your dad, Ernestine Frank, Lisa Martino's dad, all these parents out there that have been
injustice
killed.
Anywhere
yeah.
is injustice.
Everywhere.
Yeah. When an individual is placed into a position where their voice has been stolen from them, when they are placed behind a wall that they are not permitted to speak out of, when they're locked away, mm-hmm. that injustice is on my heart.
It is.
And it should be on the heart of all of us. It is, whether we're aware of it or not, it affects all of us. Every single one of us is made less by living in a world where that's something that we don't stand up against. If we don't fight against it, then we are complicit in it. And if we are complicit in it, then we are less of a human being than we might be. We are diminishing our value. We are less than we ought. We are not giving ourselves the privilege of fully living as a human being. And that is not a fate that I will accept. I will not accept it. Mm-hmm. And so it is a privilege. It is an honor. It is a calling. It is a minute right
it is.
To stand up.
And
right.
I was curious.
You know, and I wanted
I,
to... Go ahead, Hillary.
I'm sorry.
No, is that... Go ahead.
The probate courts and all the things, that it seems like they're getting mighty good at what they're doing. And I know, like you said, there are good ones out there. And I do believe that sometimes lawyers get in the elder law field thinking that they're going to do a good thing by families and legacies and whatnot, and they get caught up in it. And they're on the cusp of, oh my gosh, I have just walked into the most nightmarish thing I could ever think of, that this is not what I thought it was. It can't be this way. And then there's people that are involved in it that don't care, of course, but don't, in my mind, as big as it gets, you know, these people, they cross us. Don't, I think eventually they would cross each other too. You know, like if they, like, I feel like some of the people that we are so glad to have finally gotten justice, some of the people that are going to jail, that the guardians or conservators that have gone to jail, I feel like somewhat they're like fall boys. Like, they're like, hey, you know, you really should have done this or that. We're going to let you fall. We don't like you anymore. We're going to act like we care. It seems like they should know that even they, the corruption that they are a part of, could turn on them in a heartbeat as well, if that makes any sense.
Right.
So if anybody is that, you know, I don't know who listens to this, but if somebody is on the cusp of thinking that they are, that they know what's going on is wrong, you're right, it is wrong, and we could use some help.
Hmm.
We could really
exactly.
use some help from somebody who knows, from somebody who knows
right.
more than we know.
I agree with you. I agree with you, you know, and oh, my gosh. Wow, we've only got like 2 minutes left to this radio show, but let me tell you something. I do have some good news in my family, though. All four of my sisters are back together again. I can literally say that. One of my sisters is not doing well. She, you know, she's slow in her mental capacity, but we are all back together. We're all talking again. And I also have some really good news about my niece, and I'm just going to withhold her name, but she has won the Rensselaer Medal. She's medalist in her academics, y'all. She has won. Whew. Talk about it, Robin.
Well, she's
she has won.
Top school, the top grade point average, or scores or whatever it is, of anyone ever in the school.
Yes. She's won a $30,000 per year merit scholarship guaranteed for 4 years, everybody.
Awesome.
That's beautiful.
Awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
And when I asked her, young lady, how is it that you were able to accomplish this? The one word answer was grit. That's all she said.
What a girl. That's so cute.
Oh my God, she's a beautiful woman. I mean, she's only in 11th grade, you guys. She's gonna be. She's got another year, and she's in calculus, and she's in all these top. She had three awards. That was just one of the awards. She had three of them. So this is to my niece.
Well deserved.
Ooh. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So
your happy
I just wanted
tears
to say that,
good,
but
your happy tears are really good to hear because I think that. But we talk about defeat so much on this show, and the people that were a part of the defeat think that they defeated us, but we still have many victories in our lives to look forward to, all of us.
Right, and one of them was definitely in my family where all four sisters were there, and we all still love each other, and we're still working on some other family members to be reunited one day. Maybe that could happen. But for my niece to come out on top like this through all the problems my family had, this is an honor to call her my niece. Anyway, Robin, you have anything else you want to say tonight?
Justice requires transparency and accountability. And never, never quit.
Never, never give up. And also, this is our 6th year anniversary broadcasting from Faceless Radio. Remember, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Hillary, do you have any closing statement?
Just rest in peace, Roland Martino. We will be here for your daughter, Lisa, and we will fight for justice on your behalf. and for all of the wards that have died in guardianship.
Yeah.
Yes, we will.
Well, now I'm all in tears. Anyway.
Thank you all. Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on. Remember, you. We are Faces Radio. We'll be here again next week. Same time, same channel, 845-241-9962. That's the same number you call into the radio show every week. If you want to tell us your story, please come to Face Us Radio, F-A-C-E-U-S Radio, at hotmail.com. And remember, all of our shows are recorded and archived. All you have to do is go to Hidden Truth Revealed on Blog Talk Radio. There's like 300 shows. Let your neighbors listen to it. Let everybody listen to it, what we're talking about. This is real. Guardianship abuse, conservative abuse is wrong. Come face us. Right, Robin?
Amen.
Thank you. Everybody, good night.
Good night.
We're going to go ahead and
maybe
play It's Going to Rain Tonight. This song was done by one of the, my son-in-law is in this band, and the singer of this band of The Perfect High, he passed away. So this is one of the songs he had before he passed away, this band, called The Perfect High. Here we go. Good night, everybody.
Night, everyone.
It wasn't early morning in the summer when you said goodbye to me. I watched you walk across the tall grass. You looked behind so you could see me as you waved goodbye with the sun all around you. Somehow I just know it's gonna rain. Kiss me once, I'll go on without you. Somehow I just know. Somehow I just know it's gonna rain. You said your spirit has to travel, go down every open road. You never know until you find it for yourself. Hearts will run. I can't stay here to see you go. There's a song all around you. Somehow I just know it's gonna break. Kiss me once, I'll go on without you. Somehow I just know it's gonna break. Wave goodbye when the song all around you. Somehow I just know it's gonna break. Somehow I just know. Somehow I just.